Good morning, everyone. This is Julie with the Iowa Healthcare Association. Welcome to our monthly MCO call. Brandon is on vacation this week, so I am filling in for him today. So I have right at 10:30. I think we have just a few people still jumping on, but we'll go ahead and find out who's with us this morning with Iowa Total Care. Who do we have?
Hi, good morning. This is Jeannie, and with me I have Tony Wietrich, Hillary Roach, Judy Lucas, and Kim Tarbox.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Glad you're here today. So I'm going to start off like Brandon typically does and walk through a couple of ILs that have come out since we have last met. I'm going to start off with informational letter 2258. MCFFS. So the Department of Human Services released that informational letter titled Nursing Facility Reimbursement Rates. In this IL, it explains that rate sheets for 7/1/21 and 10/1/21 will be mailed out to providers starting on 8/6. So I'm guessing that some of you have already received those, and they will also be submitted to the MCOs for upload to their systems. The release of the rates at this time is being done without receiving approval from CMS of the state plan amendment or the SPA. DHS is making an exception to their normal process response to challenges faced by providers related to the public health emergency. Again, that was informational letter 2258. We also had released informational letter 2250. That was home health agency LUPA reimbursement rates, and informational letter 2252, which is HCBS waiver rate changes. These updates are a result of a $2 million LUPA appropriation and $11 million HCBS provider appropriation that was secured during our 2021 legislative session. This appropriation moves the LUPA rates up to 91.71% of the state geographic wage adjusted Medicare LUPA rate, while the HCBS increase results in a 3.55% increase in rate for elderly waiver services with dates of service on or after 7/1/21. We have put those in our bulletins as they came out and on our communication platform, so I'm hoping folks have seen those. If not, you can go back and find those in our bulletin that we run weekly. There was also a couple other info letters for nursing facility case mix in July. Those were also posted in our bulletins in the last couple of weeks. So if you can't find them or you have any questions after you read them, feel free to reach out to Brandon at the association. So at this time, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Jeannie and find out if you guys, your team has any updates for providers since we have met last.
All right, sure, I'd be happy to. Thank you so much. We would like to let folks know that we originally were going to start our provider visits in mid-September, but with the new variant that is currently going throughout the country and Iowa, we have delayed our visits to coming out to provider offices until October 18th. So we had started up planning on going out and meet and greeting all you folks in person and getting back on the trail for that. But unfortunately, with the variant uprise, we have the, from our corporation standpoint, we are coordinating that with our return to the office, which will be on approximately October 18th. And also, as you can probably understand, that will be determinant on how things go. So at this point, we're looking at October 18th. So that is the only update that I have. I do have Kim Tarbox with us from our authorization department, and I do believe that we did have one question relative to authorizations. So, Kim, would you like to address question number two?
I am so sorry. I'm having a little computer trouble. Could you read the question for me?
I certainly can.
Thank you.
Sure. I know we have discussed this before, but can you explain the process used by Iowa Total Care when new patients are admitted to a home health agency and are needing to provide services prior to receiving an authorization?
Perfect. Thank you. For a brand new patient, what is the results of the assessment? So most folks go out and do an assessment for skilled needs, either skilled nursing needs or therapy, or home health aid. We need the plan of care and we need a doctor's order. The plan of care, ideally, the dates will line up with the off period. And the doctor's orders can be verbal if necessary. It just kind of like in the hospital, we would eventually get them signed off, but we will accept a verbal notification as an order to start care. And that's the usual. Does anybody need to know or understand what we do for existing patients or existing plans of care?
Well, while you're on the subject, if you want to address that, and then I believe you guys have a set number of visits that can be done.
Yes, we do.
I wouldn't say a pass through, but while they're working through getting the assessment and the stuff, you want to address that as well.
Yes, you bet. There are four, a decision was made, gosh, it's been a long time, I think maybe at launch, to waive the first four visits. And that, you're exactly right. The point of that is to allow our clinicians to get those assessments done, knowing full well that a skilled assessment is quite a bit different from a therapy visit. So that's why there are four visits that are the authorization is waived. Any more questions on that part? And then I'll jump into existing or recertifications.
This is Julie again. I think one of the things I hear most frequently is that it's taking upwards of 10 days to get the auth once they send stuff in, and they've exhausted those four visits typically within the first week, especially if there's nursing and therapy together. Do you know what the time frame is that it's taking to get an auth back to an agency?
Well, I'm not going to lie, guys. It's bad right now. We have been working extremely high turnaround times, and it's purely because of volume. It's just kind of gotten out of control. And I'm not going to lie. We have up to 14 days, from a contract perspective, but we really try to get things turned around quicker than that. Our ideal state is 8 days, but it's been a bit since we've been able to manage that. And I don't see a real clear path anytime soon.
Yeah, I think that's probably where they're at because, they're not comfortable after those four visits continuing to do volumes of visits until they do have that back. And so I think that puts a little bit of a halt in the services they're providing while they're waiting for the okay to go forward. So
I completely understand. It is not an easy place to be. We're assigning out as much as we possibly can. The nurses that work with those cases are, we're putting in overtime. It's tough right now, and we're doing our best. I will communicate your concerns to our leaders, but unfortunately, that is present state.
Okie doke.
So for an existing or recertification, what we need, as long as the request hasn't changed, then we need the new plan of care. Unsigned is okay. Just when you do get that piece signed, if you could forward that on to us, or you could use your previous plan of care signed that is signed by the provider, as long as nothing, none of the services have changed. But we also do need something that's recent. It can be nursing notes, it can be an OASIS, or it could be from a provider that went in and did an assessment for whatever reason, or perhaps the patient, you know, went in for a face-to-face visit from their provider. All of those things are acceptable. Any questions there?
If you do have questions, feel free to put those in the chat. We'll circle back up to the first question, and I do have some questions that came in after Brandon sent these over, but question one was, providers have mentioned that when billing for Homemaker through EBV, that Iowa Total Care does not allow them to bill above the allowed amount where Amerigroup does. This is troublesome when a rate increase is received. It was also mentioned that CareBridge does not provide an avenue for providers to revise or resend claims. This gets into the whole lesser of criteria. Is there something in the works to get this resolved now that new rates have been released effective 7/1/21 through our waivers?
Hello, this is Justin. Yeah, so there's two parts to that question. So I'll address the first part about the rate. So the rates that we put into CareBridge are the rates that for Homemaker that the provider is contracted for, or for CDAC, that is the rate from the CDAC agreement. So our philosophy is to put those rates in that are accurate rates for the time. And so the second part of the question, I think, is based off the first, because I know that in the past, providers have billed more, so then it's easier to kind of get that fixed if there's a rate change. But there is a way in CareBridge to send in revised claims, and that's how we would normally, because it's unfortunately a regular thing where maybe a caregiver signs out at the wrong time. And they don't realize it until after the claims have been sent to us. And so we can do revised claims, and they will be sent through us, and that is through CareBridge. So in this case, we would go in and enter the correct rate for the time period that it should start, and then the provider should be able to request that those come back to us, and they would come back to us with the correct rate.
So is there a document that you can forward to Brandon that we can put in the bulletin on how they can do the revised rates with CareBridge?
I can send a link to the training. There's a ton of training on the CareBridge website. I would have to see if we could pinpoint exactly where some of that is. But I would always encourage people to get on the CareBridge website, and all the trainings that have been provided in the past are there and can be accessed at any time.
Yeah, if you could pinpoint the one that talks about how to request the revision, that would be fabulous. Thank you so much, Justin.
So the rate, And for Heather's question, the rate is part of the authorization, so we change the authorization with the correct rate. So if an authorization currently runs through 11:30, we are going to go in and put a new authorization in starting 7/1 with the correct rate.
Thank you. Next question was, when will the website be updated so we can retrieve remittance information?
So the information that I have received from our staff member that works with our portal team is that the ETA is unknown at this time. We are working with a third-party vendor to make that correction.
Thank you. Will Iowa Total Care create another project to reprocess claims for correct payment after the new rates are established, or will we have to file a claim reconsideration?
Well, this is Hillary from Iowa Total Care Claims. We are currently working on getting those rates updated for all of the LUPA rates, nursing facility, and the HCBS rates based on those IL letters that came out. If you did not bill enough on your claim to cover the rate increase, you would have to submit a corrected claim. And when you're doing that, just make sure if it's on a UB claim form to put 7 in the last position of the bill type, or put a 7 in the reconsideration code box on the 1500 claim form so that we know and can identify that it is a corrected claim. If you already billed enough money to cover the rate increase, then we will just reprocess those claims.
Okay, I'm looking at the chat while we're talking, and I'm not, it says, and I don't know if this is directed to Justin on the CareBridge issue or not. They said that won't work because the rate I would told care authorizes is tied to the authorization, not the claim. So instead of allowing us to bill from the start above the paid rate, we now have to go into each and every claim and resend them to get the increase. Seems like a lot of work on our part instead of allowing us to set the billed rate like Amerigroup does. So that is going back to the lesser of criteria there.
Right. So I guess my question would be is how many visits do you put in your claim? Because you do... Do you submit claims weekly? Do you submit claims monthly? And that's what would be resubmitted because we will go back and put a new authorization in with the new rate. So we'll grab the correct rate when you would send them back over.
Laura's saying we have several claims that are showing paid on the Iowa Total Care website, but don't show check information. I called and spoke with a rep, and he looked at a few and said that even though the website was showing paid, that they were still processing in the system and that it can take up to 30 business days from the date we submitted the claim for it to be finalized and paid. So I guess I'm going to give them a little longer as the ones I have were all billed with the month of July, so not over the 30-day mark yet. Why would they show paid if they're still processing?
So this is Hillary from Claims again. The portal updates as the claims are processing through the system to show if it's in a paid or denied status. When there's no check number or paid date, I'm not sure if it shows the paid date in the portal, because claims doesn't have access to that. But when there isn't a check number, that means that it's being loaded into the check run to go out for payment. So it's just showing you the status of the claim that it is in a paid status, but it hasn't actually cut the check yet.
Thanks, Hillary.
You're welcome.
Next question, is there another phone number for Iowa Total Care to call to check on the status of a previously submitted claim reconsideration? When they call the 833 number and provide the reconsideration number, the claims representatives always have to put me on hold and check with the supervisors. They don't have access to reconsiderations. This prolongs the phone calls and the wait time terribly.
Yeah, unfortunately, no. That is your first line of resolution to call the call center. The information has been shared with the call center leadership.
So is there a time point where the people answering that phone then will have access to be able to look at that or no?
Well, we are always looking for updates and opportunities on our portal, but at this time they are not scheduled within the next year or so, but that has been stated as an upgrade for our portal opportunity.
Okay. Some of the other questions that came in after Brandon sent these, who can we contact if our provider rep doesn't respond? I've emailed David Smith multiple times with a list of claims that need to be reprocessed, and again, no response. What is the status? I'll stop there for a minute. If the provider rep isn't responding, what's their next line?
Okay, so generally, I have not known David not to respond. Generally, it's we are awaiting information. As Hillary and I have both shared in previous meetings, we work, they are considered a local claim shop, and we work with our national claim shop, and many times we're waiting for information to be returned to us. So we provide the information as soon as possible, is relayed back to us. So we have an internal system, a SharePoint site, if you will, that we submit this information to, and then our claims team works the opportunities here at a local level when possible. And then additionally, if they go into like projects and things, then our national claim shop generally is working with them. So we provide the most up-to-date information as possible. In terms that if I would welcome that information, you can send it to myself or to Tony. Our information is our contact information that we have shared previously, and I will pull it again, put in the chat in the contact information where our provider map is concerned. On page 2 is your provider relations leadership contact information. You're welcome to contact myself or Tony Weiter.
Great.
And then we will have that discussion with Dave and bring him into the mix or any other provider relations specialist. And then we will find out where the disconnect occurred and make that correction if necessary.
Thank you.
Of course.
What is the status of the L6 claim issues? I have one client that never got reprocessed with 6 claims.
This is Hillary from claims again. There were a few claims that fell out of our projects because they had to be manually rekeyed by the claim shop. They are currently working the remaining claims for that right now. And they should be done by the end of this month with the rest of those claims. You should have seen some of them reprocess. The having to rekey the claim shouldn't have impacted all of your claims. There may be situations where it did, but those are being worked right now for that issue.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What is the status of the hospice CPs getting reprocessed for hospice room and board? I have one client with about 7 claims.
So there are a couple of those also being processed right now with kind of the same situation as the L6 claims. We're also working through a file to make sure that we have all the client participation values correct. So there may be instances where the total claim needs to pay out, but we also need to take CP out of the claim. But there will also be recoveries associated with that on any claims where we did not take CP out of the claims, and you'll get the normal letter and you'll get the time to dispute those project letters as well. So you'll have the 30 days to dispute and then 60 days before we start actually reprocessing those claims, or you can send a check-in. So just want to give you a heads up on that.
Excellent. This one is a little bit lengthier, and so I will read it, and it may be that I have to submit the question to someone on the team, but they have a question regarding the COVID reimbursement for the skilled nursing for the additional $300 per day. And what they're asking is, can you verify the following is the correct way to bill these claims and the timely filing deadline to get these paid? Submit three separate adjustment claims all the same time with 217. Example, day 1 through 5 room and board, day 6 through 10 with a DR and a U70.1. One of the first adjustment claims, you just have the room and board. The second COVID adjustment claim, you will need a DR in the box for the condition code and the diagnosis code of U70.1. You will need 3 separate lines. And then they gave an example, day 1 through 5, day 6 through 10, day 11 through 30. In the notes section, add COVID billed on 3 separate claims. How would you handle claims that denied for timely filing if within the filing limit?
So that is the correct billing. If you did bill an initial claim, you would need to submit those as corrected claims just so that it cancels out that initial claim that didn't have the COVID days on them. That's the only thing I would add. If you are getting timely filing denials on those, if you could send those to your provider relations representative so that we can identify them. We will also go back on our side and look for any that have that DR condition code on it that hit timely filing, but it may be difficult to see all of the surrounding claims that don't have that DR condition code on them that were rebilled and denied for timely. So it's a little bit easier if you have just a couple of them to send that to your PR rep or at least identify that you have that issue so that we can look at your claims in particular.
Okay, so thank you very much for that. That is the end of the submitted questions. So I'm going to flip over to where we left off in the chat here. Let's see. I have several claims that have paid, have a remit with claim numbers, but the Iowa Total Care claims website will not pull the claim up. Is that a known issue by chance?
So I think that's referring to the portal, if I'm correct. Jeannie or Tony, have you heard of that issue in the portal?
I have not. I would submit that to your provider relations specialist, and they can submit it to our portal representative.
Thank you. Looks like Juliana has just followed up that it'd be nice if they, if their rep could at least respond, they received the request, if it's going to be a lengthy wait time, so that at least they know someone has seen it and that it's being worked on. I think that's what that one's about.
And my expectation is that we acknowledge an email or a phone call within 48 business hours. However, we don't always know how long the information is going to take to get back to us. So we will acknowledge that we receive their question, but we cannot always guarantee how long it's going to take for the information to come back to us.
Excellent. Thank you. How long will it take Iowa Total Care to get the new LUPA rates in the system? We're getting ready to send off July claims, and if those rates will be in soon, would rather send them and get paid correctly than have to wait for them to reprocess with updated rates later.
Yes, so we received the LUPA rates. We currently have them being configured in the system right now. I just checked, and it is very close to going into production. So by early next week, those rates should be in production, and then your claims will pay out correctly if you can wait until next Monday.
Excellent. Thank you for that information.
You're welcome.
Looks like I'll reach out to Jeannie with the name of that. Jeannie, let's see.
Thank you.
That is the end of the submit, even the chat here. So we'll go ahead and wait another minute or two here to see if we have some more questions come in.
Hi, I sent in a question to Brandon and it was not asked.
Feel free to go ahead and ask it.
Okay, so in home health, if we send in a prior authorization on a new client that we're just enrolling, can we have 5 business days to get the prior authorization in? So if we see that client, say, on 8-6, we could have 5 days to get the paperwork in and still date it as 8-6 because you no longer allow us to predate stuff. It's kind of hard to get all the paperwork in on the same day that you enroll a client.
This is Kim. So I'm not sure I understand, though. So is this, you said this is a recert, right?
No, it's not a recert. It's a new client. You're okay. Enrolling a patient.
Okay. So there are the 4 waived from off visits are what we intend to help with the situation you're describing. So you have 4 visits to get your assessments completed, plan of cares, written and submitted.
Okay.
This is Julie again. So when they're using those four visits while they're establishing care, and those visits, those four visits cover all disciplines. So it's four total visits. But they do need to add those four visits in the plan of care, correct? When that plan of care comes over, it needs to be inclusive of the four visits and everything
else. Either way, the auth will start at visit number five. But if you want them all, that's fine too. But ideally, you would get those four. The four visits would give you the time that you need for completing all of that.
Did that answer your question?
It does, but it doesn't pay out that way when we send in the claims, because I keep on getting denial on new clients saying it wasn't included in the authorization. That's why it would be easier if you would let us start the prior authorization on the date that we enroll them.
Is there a way to get me some examples? Do you have auth numbers that you could share that I could look in to see what happened?
I actually just sent one in today for a prior authorization. I don't have auth numbers per se in front of me, but I do know that it is taking a lot longer to get prior authorizations back from Iowa Total Care right now.
I would agree with you.
And all information is being sent. I have one that I'm still waiting for from 3 weeks ago.
So I'm going to need those authorization numbers so I can look into them to see what happened. And
it's okay.
One that you sent in 3 weeks ago.
Well, I sent one in today that is a total new client with all the information. Do you want their information or what?
So if it's a brand new one and you don't have an auth number, then the patient's name and ID is fine. As far as the one that happened where you indicated that something was denied inappropriately, ideally I would see the auth number. So if you could show us, that would help a lot.
Okay. I'm only on the phone. I can't do Zoom. Is there an email that I can send this to?
Jeannie, what's the route that your folks typically do?
It's our preference that if you have a question, to send it to your provider relations specialist, asking to forward it on to particular areas in this case, as we're on this call.
Okay.
I have, and I've gotten no response from David Smith either. That's why I go through Brandon.
And who are you with?
Skyline Center.
All right. I will take that back as I'm making a note right here.
Because I've also sent him a lot of claim information that have not been paid and I've had issues with on his spreadsheet, and I get no response from him.
Okay, well, David actually is on the call, and he has shared with me he has had correspondence with you, so David will follow up with you today.
Okay. Yes, he has gotten back to me on different things, but on this specifically, he has not.
Well, I will be including those emails going back and forth, so we will ensure that you will have that information.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. You are most welcome.
It looks like Hillary did put some information in our chat here, anticipating updated rates for nursing facility and HCBS to be in our system by 8/27 or before, and the LUPA rates will be in the system by 8/16. So that will help guide folks with their billing if they're wanting to wait till they're in, or if they need to bill earlier. Thank you for that, Hillary.
You're welcome.
Any other questions while we have our Iowa Total Care team with us here this morning?
I actually have a follow-up to question number five, if there was an additional phone number that shared that I we had shared that information with our call center leadership. The director of our call center actually was able to get back to me, and he indicated that, unfortunately, this is an issue that has been identified, and the supervisors are required to look it up in the internal system that the agents do not have access. We are working on getting better notes added within these internal systems so that we can get the information back to you. And they do feel the same frustrations the providers are feeling when they are searching for those answers. They want to be quick and efficient in getting that back to you. So they are trying to come up with resolution to this issue and have been working on it for a while. So they continue to do so.
Thank you for the update.
Of course.
We are thankful that you're working on it, and hopefully we'll see a resolution sooner than later.
Yes, agree.
Another question, is there a way to look at claim reconsiderations online?
I do not believe so this time. Tony? Did I interrupt?
Apologies. Okay. I mean, it does show the status on the, if you file the claim reconsideration through the provider portal, it should tell you, give you the status in there, whether it's upheld or overturned. I do know that the portal team has been working on improving the information, giving better information about why it was upheld, but I mean, it should show you the status in there.
Thank you, Tony. I checked out claim reconsiderations through the portal. It will state the status, whether it was upheld or overturned. Just go into claims and type the client's last name and date of service. This was just a comment for that, the person who was asking. So thank you, Angie, for putting that in there. Any other questions for the team? Okay, I see no new questions, so we're gonna go ahead and stop the recording for this one, and we will be back on for those folks on the Zoom here at 11:30 with Amerigroup. And as always, if you have questions between calls, feel free to reach out to Brandon and I. We can work on those in between. Stay cool out there and have a safe and great weekend, everybody. Thanks to the Iowa Total Care team for joining us today.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.